Conal, we'd start with you, I suppose. The oft-repeated phrase about the Dáil in over the course of the term has been the do-nothing Dáil. Fair, unfair?
Historically stuttering, I would say, almost. I mean, we're now 10, 11 weeks into government formation and effectively I fail to think of one major policy announcement from the government in the key areas that it needed to tackle. In terms of the Dáil work itself, we had effectively 7-8 weeks of the Dáil speaking row, which took up so much time. And, you know, TDs were coming in at Leinster House to vote on this, to argue it in the Dáil, et cetera, et cetera. Debates were going on, but really there wasn't a lot of substance to a huge amount of it. But, so, no, not a lot done, in my view. But we did have today, I suppose, the committees finally being formed. Now, these are crucial to the work of the Dáil. We now know that Sinn Féin will get 7 of these committees, notably Justice, Defence and the powerful PAC, the Public Accounts Committee. Labour will get 2. They will get the Arts and the committee relating to issues affecting the travelling community. Social Democrats will get Health, which is a substantial one to get, and the new one on drugs use. Government will get about 15 of the 28 committees. But in all of this, we're now heading into the two-week recess. So by the time we come back, we're then looking at another couple of weeks before the committee chairs are confirmed by the Dáil. That'll be around May 7th. And then once they're up and running, the work can properly begin. But it's not long then. It's only another 8-9 weeks to the summer recess, really. So it does feel a little bit frustrating, and I'm sure it's frustrating for a lot of backbench TDs who want to be on those committees, who want to be getting their points across, who want to see legislation forwarded, etc., who want accountability as well, because I think one of the things that's going to be very interesting to see is, particularly with the PAC and the Arts Committee, we've had a lot of stuff around public spending, the misuse of public funds. We haven't really seen any accountability for that. So that's going to be one of the key priorities when we do come back. And I also think there's probably an appetite from the public there to see it.
Right. The Foreign Affairs and Trade Committee, a lot to be chewed over in that, at least.
Absolutely.
Events which may or may not occur in 90 days' time. Health Committee, plenty on that as well. We'll be getting to that in a moment as well. We'll do a quick run around the panel just on that assessment. Shane Moynihan, to you first. Do you think that's a fair assessment from Conal?
I would say that it characterises that there's been no policy announcements from the government for the last few months. I don't think that's necessarily true. We've seen €500 million allocated towards delivering more social and affordable housing since the government came into office. We've seen the government take a very proactive response, not only to how we position Ireland with regard to being prepared for tariffs coming from the United States and preparing for our coordination as part of the European response, and also then the foreign policy pieces resolved to that. There have been pieces of legislation brought to the floor at all. For example, the Úsáid na Gaeltacht, the reform bill, was voted on in the Dáil last night. So again, these aren't things that necessarily might capture the public imagination, but there have been policy pronouncements from government. There has been indications of how they're going to take forward commitments of the program. But as Conal says, as a new backbench TD, I am very keen to get working on the committees. That's where we do our work, and that is where I think the Dáil is best at work. So I'm looking forward to that next stage.
Ken O'Flynn, what have you made of the work so far? First time into the Dáil. How's it been for you?
Yeah, my first time being elected to the Dáil. I'm familiar with the Dáil, as you know. My father served in the Dáil for, I think, 3 terms back in from 1997 for 14, 15 years. So I would be familiar with the workings of the Dáil. I suppose for me, it's been a baptism of fire coming in, trying to run a constituency office, a very busy constituency office here in Cork, and doing your Dáil work as well. And, you know, look, I'll be straight with you. I think the response of government and I worked with my father on two of his terms, and I've never seen a Dáil like the one I've become a member of, you know. No planning, no urgency, and lack of leadership, being honest with you. I feel that there's been very little announced. And when the previous speaker speaks about, you know, we've announced this, I think actually you've regurgitated old policies that have already been election promises, a little bit of window dressing inside and that, and off you go. So, you know, I'm looking forward to getting down to business and doing our business and getting to the committees. I think it is rare enough that I'd align myself with Mary Lou MacDonald, but I think she's right. I don't think we should be having the recess at all. I think we should be working harder, we should be working smarter, we should be working much longer, and we should be getting down to business, because there are things to be addressed. You know, the cost of living is still there. There's serious, housing is the biggest crisis in this country. There's still items that have to be tackled and seriously tackled before people can get out the bucket and spade.
Okay, Marie Sherlock.
Yeah, look, I think it's been actually very frustrating over the last number of weeks, because so much of the Dáil schedule has been filled up with statements, which are, you know, important in terms of people offering their views on things, but ultimately in terms of progressing the huge issues, as Ken reflected on there, in terms of housing, in terms of, you know, education, special needs education, in terms of health, huge amount of issues, and yet no legislative progress. And I think ultimately, while, you know, those of us as opposition deputies over the last number of weeks have been working as hard as we can to try and hold the government to account, because that is a crucial part of the role of any TD is in terms of that accountability piece. I suppose the scrutiny of legislation obviously hasn't been happening, and where the real work happens is obviously in committees. So look, you know, for us now it is making sure that those committees get up and running as soon as possible. It's going to be May by the time they get up and running, and obviously they're going to be a bit of bedding in time. So I think it'll be September by the time they'll really get going, which is like almost a year on from the election. It's a shocking reflection of the Dáil, and we need to speed things up.
All right. The election, which is the last time the people had the chance to speak. But obviously opinion polls happen in the interim. That's when people get to give a bit of a verdict on the performance of the functioning of the Dáil and the various parties in the meantime. Luckily, we're joined on the line there by Kevin Cunningham, pollster with more than a pollster, founder and managing director with Ireland Thinks and politics lecturer at Technical University of Dublin. Kevin, good evening to you.
Thanks very much, and thanks for the long title as well.
Yeah, no problem. Sure, look, it's there's a bit of polling feedback there. That's 100% of those polled are happy with the long title awarded to them. On the parties, Kevin, how do they stand at the moment?
Yeah, if you're to go to the polling indicator from UCD's, from Stefan Mueller, you'd see Fianna Fáil, certainly amongst the larger parties, you'd have Fianna Fáil averaging out around 23%, Sinn Féin on around 22%, which would be up 3 since the general election, and Fine Gael on 20. I think more broadly, this is, you know, I mean, quite positive for the government, at least Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael's side of it. You know, you do expect governments to bleed at least some support in this period, and certainly you would have thought so in the context of, you know, the Dáil row, or indeed some disagreements around housing and a sense that the public had been somewhat misled on that particular issue. But the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael side are doing quite well. Fianna Fáil in particular, obviously, this is kind of their highest polling average since at any stage during the 2020-2024 cycle. And yeah, it's quite strong for them.
Right. Particularly,
it's a good question. I mean, Micheál Martin's obviously performing relatively well. Like, he's been quite popular and been able to bring voters over from Fine Gael towards the Fianna Fáil side in significant enough numbers over the course of any period in which he has been Taoiseach. He's been able to increase the popularity of himself and Fianna Fáil. I think that's quite important, because it's not just that like Simon Harris isn't particularly unpopular, he's just relatively not quite as popular. But I think in particular in this context, the reason why Fianna Fáil are doing quite well is because, you know, when people were evaluating his performance vis-a-vis his meeting with Donald Trump, he was generally quite positive in that regard. And also, there's a sense of a sort of a rally around the flag effect, something that we've observed, certainly observed quite significantly in the context of COVID, and something you could see certainly in Canada, the relative popularity of the likes of Mark Carney. Even a small rally around the flag effect, that is the idea that people kind of rally towards political leaders in a time when they feel that their country is kind of threatened. You know, I think
as against that, how,
kind of arguing in that regard.
How's the main party of opposition getting on? Because they're up, I think, since the last general election as well, Sinn Féin.
Yeah, they're up. I mean, Sinn Féin's vote is kind of interesting. It's a reflection of, it's an artifact in some respect of the housing issue. You know, when you ask people, certainly the last election, why people voted for different parties and what issues determined their vote, it is the housing issue that seems to overwhelmingly determine why people support Sinn Féin in particular. They don't seem to, I mean, they seem to have lost quite a lot of their support outside of the housing issue, particularly to independence in the intervening period. But I think with the relative prominence of that issue, you know, if when you ask people what issues they consider to be quite important, when it comes to the issues like the tariffs or the economy, those that emphasise those issues do tend to support Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and those that tend to emphasise sort of domestic issues, particularly like the likes of housing, they do tend towards Sinn Féin, I guess.
And smaller parties and independents, how have they been getting on? Because, you know, independents did pretty well in the last election. So how are they performing? And then run us through the smaller parties, if you would, maybe give us an insight into the whys and wherefores of those support levels.
The independents are as far as is quite a significant change. Now, this is obviously conditional on what type of independent. Like, if you were to look at Independent Ireland, well, they're still polling around 4%, so they're quite stable. But in terms of the bloc that we might consider to be independents and others, they would have got 15.5% at the last election. But nowadays, their polling average is down to 10. So it's quite similar to the kind of minor coalition partner aspect that you might expect. Because one of the things that we've been polling the last couple of months, it concerns Michael Lowry and people's satisfaction or otherwise with his involvement in government formation. And while the government haven't necessarily taken a hit on this, it seems that those independents that are, you know, supporting the government have probably lost substantial amounts of support. But that's I guess, their side of the aisle. The smaller parties, like a lot of them are kind of as you were, really. Labour ain't two, and as I mentioned, Independent Ireland's are on 4. Green Party and PPP are on 3. But the Social Democrats are quite interesting because they are on 8. And I think part of that is because it's an artifact of their brand and how, you know, they may have only gotten 4.8%, I think it was, at the last election. You know, they probably would have got a larger vote had they actually stood candidates right around the country. So they kind of have a much bigger vote anyway than people might kind of perceive, I guess. So,
all right.
It's all about the economy, I think, at this point in time.
Indeed, their membership seems to be higher than some people suspected as well. But Kevin Cunningham, founder of Ireland's Thinks Polling and politics lecturer in Technical University Dublin, thanks very much for joining us this evening. To pick up where Kevin left off there on the subject of the Social Democrats, Conal, we talked about Schrödinger's independence. Indeed. When it came to the regional independent group, it appears there's a bit of Schrödinger going on in the Social Democrats as well.
The party successfully managed to secure 2 Oireachtas committees based on its 11 Dáil seats, despite one of its TDs, Owen Hayes, being suspended. So effectively, the party argued that because it had 11 TDs in the parliamentary party when the Dáil was formed, it therefore was entitled to hold 2 committees. Of course, poor Mr. Hayes is still indefinitely suspended from the party. But they have used the fact that he was elected a Social Democrat at the last election to now get 2 committee chairs. So you say Schrödinger Social Democrat. I mean, you'd be cynical really looking at this, in my view. I don't know if that's a fair assessment, but I would be pretty cynical considering that they've suspended Owen Hayes indefinitely from the party and haven't said when he's going to be let back in. But they've effectively used his position.
Up until last night, he was an independent on the Oireachtas website.
On the Oireachtas website, yeah. Yes, that's right.
He's a Social Democrat today. And my colleague, Marie Sherlock, Micheál Lehane, I heard him saying that he met a veteran Labour member in the Dáil today. Cock a hoop was, I think, how he described him. This was, they seem to be celebrating the loss of luster by the Social Democrats, perhaps in the eyes of their peers in Leinster House.
Well, we wouldn't ever be celebrating anybody else's misfortunes, no. But anyway, but look, I think the thing is, look, if the Social Democrats want to hold on to Owen Hayes for the sake of an extra €10,000, so be it. Like, I obviously have diametrically opposed views to a person who has held on to shares in a company, you know, so closely associated with the Israeli government and their war effort. But, you know, that's their business, and they have 2 committee positions now, and good luck to them.
Right. But the shares, as of now, are gone, but they were disposed of later than
well,
than he
there
said
was an
were.
Election contested. Sure. He was a candidate for them while he had those shares.
So you're not celebrating, but you would classify it as a misfortune, and you're certainly not missing the political opportunity to make your point. Shane Moynihan?
Well, look, I'm awaiting the breathless indignation of when a Social Democrat isn't a Social Democrat to transpire. Also, as Marie says, it's an issue for the Social Democrats, who their members are. I would feel aggrieved if I were in the Labour Party at the outcome of this deal, but it is what it is. It makes you wonder what the last few weeks are about, and it does call into question some of the points that were made in that previous time. But look, the focus first now needs to be to get on to work,
right,
to get the committees up and going, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
OK. Ken O'Flynn?
Well, for me, the veil has slipped a little bit for Social Democrats. Look, I don't see much of a difference between the deal that was done between Micheál Martin, Simon Harris and Michael Lowry as the deal that was done by the Social Democrats yesterday. You know, I've seen that poor lad walking around Leinster House with no speaking rights.
Michael Lowry or Owen Hayes?
I don't think there's anything poor about Michael Lowry. But Owen Hayes, and who is, by the way, a very, very nice gentleman, I have to say. But, you know, I've seen him being shunned by the Social Democrats, and the high moral ground that is taken up by the far left, being the Social Democrats, it's a very slippery ground.
Mm. Do you think he's entitled now to stand in the middle of the Dáil canteen and hover close to in the cafeteria to the table of the Social Democrats and say, is it OK for me to sit down here now?
And I would imagine they'll probably tell him after they've gotten their committee places, no. Because, you know, that's how they operate. And look, that's every party operates differently. You know, us in Independent Ireland, we're a friendly lot. But, look, they have their way of doing business.
Well, Matty McGrann, Carol Nolan mightn't say you're too friendly about admission to the technical group of which you're a member.
Well, actually, we were very friendly to Aintu when they applied for membership.
Matty McGrath, before we had even met
as a group, at that stage, Matty McGrath had already done his business with a different technical group.
I know, but Aintu. So, they were in the same group as the Regional Independents, and then they went in with you.
But there's a way to apply for membership. There's a way to communicate that membership rather than demand membership of a group, you know. And look, it's regrettable. I have tremendous time. I haven't actually spoken to Carol Nolan ever. I don't know why. The lady doesn't speak to me. That's fine. And I don't think that's anything personal. Yeah. Matty McGrath, I have great time for. I think he's a lovely gentleman. And I have great time for Matty, I have to say.
A colleague of your father, indeed. And then in the same party up until 2011.
That's great. Yes, that's great. Indeed, and I would have known Matty from that time as well. And, you know, I would have engaged with Matty at times. But look, what I will say to you is that, look, the Sock Dems do their business a little bit differently.
And you're a friendly group and you hope to establish even friendlier and cordial relations with Matty McGrath and Carol Nolan in the time ahead.
We're friendly with everybody and we're willing to work with everybody. And that's why we would be seen as an opposition that's constructive rather than an opposition that knocks continuously.